All right, we ready to start the show?
Yeah, let's start and talk about more fun things.
All right, 9:42. Here we go.
Back show.
That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Showtime!
When you were making egg bouillon in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's back. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a little get bad. For the strolling group like the DLNGS, Dalo, and RC Challenge, the Linux State.net, Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 942 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going, everybody?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello, hello.
And it finally happened, baby. I got the Rona on Friday. I tested.
All right, joined the club, Dan.
Yeah, I tested positive. It was a hard positive.
It was inevitable. You know, once people in your family get into your house,
yeah.
It's hard to not get it at that point.
I was surprised that it took like 2 weeks for me to test positive. But when I tested, I put that dropper on there, and like within a minute, it was like solid two lines there. And I was like, but it was a shitty couple of days. Not that I felt really bad. It's just I was exhausted. I mean, all I wanted to do was like lay down and sleep. That's how it hit me. So there we go. But I was utterly bummed out, as much as I was elated, to discover when I woke up Thursday morning, looking at my email as I was working out, wish it was a day before, Slackware 15 has finally been released.
About freaking time, huh?
Absolutely. Slackware 15 released on 2022-02-03 with the 5.15.19 kernel. Yeah, it was a long time. When was, let's see.
I think it was actually like 7 years.
I think so. I was going to say, was it 6 years or 7 years? But anyway, oh man, I can't figure out where I can put this on, what I can put this on. Like, I would love to put it on this main workstation. But the only thing that holds me back is, am I going to have time to get it from a Slackware base install to what I need for processing the show, which is probably not going to be that difficult, but I'm a lazy son of a bitch. So I don't know. So I want to put it on something, because Fedora's getting a little old in the mouth here, and I also need to rework my file system here, because I only have, and this is my shitty drives, because I lost the original drive that came in here, and this is a smaller drive, so my root partition is that doesn't look right. I'm on the wrong machine. Sorry. I was going to say, how could I have like 18 gigs free and I just ran out of space? No, I have on my root partition is, it's got 72 gigs used. So I have like 4.7 gigs available, and you'd think that would be enough. But all I did was install the screen copy flat pack, which is pretty much the easiest and quickest way to get it on Fedora without having to go through a bunch of other hoops. And when I did that, it pulled in some other dependencies, and I didn't realize I like used up my entire root partition with that shit. Oops. And like, I'm like, holy crap. Now that I look at it, I'm like, just to install that was like 4.7 gigabytes. I'm like, no way, man. I put it on Arch. It works perfectly. That's what I was testing out when I did it on the show. We did it 2 weeks ago, was it, Joe? And it did not take up 4.7 gigabytes. But then again, it was an Arch package. It wasn't a flat pack, which required some other dependencies. And it had to, like, pull down the GNOME, or I think it was a KDE, like, desktop crap or whatever it is that it had to run in conjunction with it. I mean, I like the idea of flat packs. Or Snap, but I think one of the drawbacks is if you're not, like, using those pretty exclusively, it seems like it could duplicate a bunch of crap on your system.
Well, and flat packs include all the libraries in the pack, right?
Yes, but some of them require, and this is. This is the my lack of utter complete knowledge on the terminology for these, because I don't really use them that much. But I think, like, there is shared, like, a pack that's kind of like a share pack. Like, instead of having to include all the GNOME stuff or all the KDE stuff that you would need to run in that kind of environment, there is, like, a base KDE or a base GNOME or something like that that is used by other flat packs. So that's kind of what happened to me when I wanted to install the screen copy. It pulled that stuff down. So anyway.
Yep. For those who have been listening to the show for what? How old are we now? Put it this way. I'll just say, since the beginning. At the very beginning of this show, Slack was the shit, and all the hosts used it, including Dan.
It still is the shit. I just, it is the shit. But go ahead.
Well, let's face it. There's actually a lot more distros now than there was back then, too. When you really think about it, you know.
Right.
At the beginning of the show, Ubuntu didn't exist. Linux Mint didn't exist. You know, I don't think Fedora existed either.
No, Fedora didn't exist. Like, when we first started the show, yeah.
Slackware is the first distribution that I ever bought on a CD. Never figured out how to get it installed, but it was the first one I ever bought on CD back in the day.
Slack is very hands-on, very, you know, you could do just like a full install. Or you could do like a full install or a category type install, or you could get down and install individual packages, right, and choose what you want or what you don't want. It's a more of an ncurses kind of installer or was.
It doesn't have to be, but yeah.
There wasn't a graphical, like Ubuntu or Fedora or a lot of the newer ones, and when I say newer, I mean like the past decade, they've had a graphical install. When you go through there, it's point and click kind of thing, where Slackware has been more ncurses based, I believe it was, dialogue and stuff like that, and you pretty much have a bare bones system with not a lot of frills in it, but enough functionality to get pretty much almost anything you want to get done production-wise, particularly for system administrators or even for system administrators, I would say. Developers, I would say it has a lot of Python, Perl, stuff like that in there. But if you want to do like audio or video, you're going to have to go about acquiring those packages or the software yourself. Either you have to compile it yourself, and it's been made easier by Slack builds and stuff like that, where Slack package was one in the old days. Slack builds is, I think, the predominant one now, where it's a menu-driven system too, and it's kind of like Gen 2 or but you're going to go out there and it's going to pull the dependency packages for you and everything if they're available. Sometimes you might have to install them yourself. I think there what it does is it pulls that information down and it's automated to script it and build it for you and convert it into a Slackware package. So you don't have to necessarily do it yourself with running configure make install, the old way of doing things, or whatever CMake that you have to do for the package. There's a script in there that you can edit and make changes to, but if you just run the defaults, chances are it's going to work for you or what you need. So you still have a little more hands-on in having to do that than something like Ubuntu or Fedora, where you have a larger repository of pre-compiled binaries available to you.
Yep.
And so with Slackware, you're not getting Slackware does not ship with systemd. I can't remember what their new system was. It used to be just like an init system. Not initd, well, more like an init system, and scripts were essentially an rc dot, I believe it was local, and then the different run levels had the symlinks to there, to stuff in rc dot local, and they were scripts that would start to daemons. You pass it start or stop, if you wanted to do that. They moved away from GNOME due to a lot of GNOME's dependencies and integration with different stuff, and I think ultimately one of it was systemd. And it was just a lot more than they wanted to include in the base Slackware distribution. You could get GNOME on there. You pretty much do it through Slack builds. Way back in the day, I think it was Rock GNOME was a way to get it on there and stuff that was specifically kind of for running GNOME on Slackware, but they're a KDE or XFCE based distribution, depending on those are the two. There's a couple of them. Like, I think Window Maker's still in there. FVWM, I think, is still in there, but predominantly the two big desktop environments inside Slackware have been KDE and XFCE.
Well, and the KDE version in the new one is what, the 25th anniversary version of KDE?
In Slackware?
That's what it says. It says including KDE Plasma 25th anniversary edition with support for Wayland sessions.
So I'm looking forward to running this on something, maybe my main system, if I can
I may have to just to take one of my laptops and load it on just for the hell of it. Mostly because I tried there's another OS release out this week too, Peppermint OS, I believe, is also out. Based on Bullseye, I think it is. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I tried loading it up in VirtualBox. And no matter what I would do, the VM would just lock up constantly. So I think I'll probably just throw maybe I might throw that on one of the other laptops too. Although I have my old yoga book, I have that with Ubuntu, and I also put Ansible and Git on it since I'm learning how to work with Git. Right now, the editor I'm using, since we're on Windows, I'm using Visual Studio Code, which, don't knock it, it's actually quite a good editor, and it's available on Linux too. So
a lot of people
it's really good,
praise that.
Yeah, there's a lot of plugins for it. You got Git plugins, you got Ansible plugins. It's like, so you know, it'll automatically highlight all the YAML, and I use it for my 3D printer runs Marlin firmware, so when I build it off of Git on using the platform.io plugin, and it's just a really nice editor. Mad props to Microsoft for producing something that's usable.
I always have a problem with those. Visual Co Studio. What is it? Visual Studio. What is it called? Visual Studio Code. Or Atom or JEdit or WebStorm. The thing I have a problem with those is every time I use one of them, the first thing I do is I'm like I want to get a Vim plugin in there so that I can run it like Vim, and then it doesn't actually work as well. You know, there's always some quirks that it doesn't work exactly like Vim, and then I'm like, well, you know, why am I doing this? Why don't I just use Vim? You know, VI improved.
But it does
have some good stuff that you could do in there for debugging. I'm sorry.
I will say this. It's a little bit like Emacs in that you can hit a tab, and bring up a terminal. But you know, on a Linux system, it definitely would be a terminal. But on the others, on Windows, it's just essentially PowerShell. But what's nice about that is you can take the git bash commands, you just the standard git commands, and just type them right in, you know, in a little part of the editor. So, I mean, so like if you need to do a pull, you know, just like, for example, git pull origin develop to pull from our develop branch. And you can do that. You can just issue that command right there and it just does its thing, you know, because once you, and basically it works real well with the, command line git tools that you also install. In fact, that's how I set my copy of the git repo up. But you know, we're going to be using it for mostly YAML for Ansible, and probably possibly writing some stuff in Python, probably either Python or maybe even Corn Shell, but I mean, I really like it. I haven't actually done a lot of editing in it, but it's really easy to work with, as far as I'm concerned. And like I said, there's a dev package for Ubuntu. You can just download it and try it. If you don't like it, you can uninstall it. But now, do you do anything with Git on your Mac? And what do you use on that? Because I'm probably going to switch to a Mac when my work laptop comes up for replacement.
I have watched people use the integration of WebStorm and Visual Studio Code and other things with Git. I just use Git right from the command line. Because I'm using VI, I'm right then and there in the command line, and I use Git pretty much all the time from the command line. So I've never really gotten into using Git inside of any of those tools.
Yep. Yeah, and some of the stuff, it does, like I said, have built-in integration with Git. But some things are just easier to do. With the git command line. So, you know, and the nice thing is you can interchange between the two, so you don't have to use the integration with git if you don't want, or with the git repos if you don't want to. Plus you can also do it, like, for example, if while you're editing it, as long, I think what'll happen is like stuff you aren't editing can be fetched from the Git repo automatically. So if you're collaborating with someone, you can get their updates right away as long as they commit them and all that, you know. But and you can branch right from within there as well, and it's got a nice browser for the repo. And you know, it, like I said, it's don't knock it, try it. If you don't like it, you know, hey, you know, you didn't pay anything for this. And it's technically built on open source as well. It'll run on a Mac too.
Now, do you have a Mac at work? Or are they giving you one?
Not yet, but that is an option. When my laptop comes up for renewal, our renewal cycles now, they used to be like 2 years, but now they're 4. So this one should be getting close to that. I would say probably within a year, I'll be replacing my Dell. But We'll see. I don't know. I guess it all depends on what the other machines are. I know Linux is just not an option. It's going to be Mac or Windows. And we haven't deployed Windows 11 yet, for good reason. But so
yeah, it'll probably be about the time they actually stop supporting Windows 10 before my company switches to Windows 11.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that long with us. We're pretty fast. I mean, I've been with company for 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 7, actually 8 years now. Damn. But I've been with the company for 8 years, including my time with professional services. And when I was in professional services, it was absolutely critical I used Windows, because you never knew if a client's VPN solution would work on a Mac. But now I'm working for cloud. It don't matter. We use FortiGate, and we use Cisco AnyConnect, and I use Cisco AnyConnect very, very infrequently, because that's like the corporate VPN for like the salespeople and stuff like that. In order to connect to our cloud instances, we need to use FortiGate. So, that's the only two I have to care about supporting, which means I can safely make the switch without too much of an issue. Now, we don't run the latest Mac OS either. I'd have to look and
I'm
see.
Really happy that VMware's Horizon client has a Linux version.
There you go. Yeah, so
easy to log into work from any of my machines.
Yep. Well, it would have been nice is if they would have gave a Linux option, but that's probably never going to happen. But to me, I always, when I learned the most about it is when I use Linux daily for work. And I did that at the college. They let me do whatever I wanted pretty much on my machine. So if I wanted to put Windows on or Linux on it, hey, I could do that. But if I wanted to switch back to Windows, hey, I could do that. And I could do all the OS installs on my own. So and they didn't care. So, where I'm at now, not so much. So, but
now, one thing you're gonna just to be aware of this, and I don't know how important this is. If you're doing Docker containers, and you're gonna do it on a Mac, and your company's not going to pay for Docker desktop, you're going to have to use another. A virtualized software, because Mac doesn't have Linux virtual machines in there, so you're gonna need something that's gonna provide you with like a Linux virtual machine. And I had talked about Rancher Desktop last week. That's one that's provided by SUSE. Another one is Lima. You could use that, which is a Linux virtualized machine with automatic file sharing and port forwarding and Containerd, and that can run on OS 10. Or Minikube is another one that you can do if you're particularly working with Kubernetes and stuff. So there's a couple other options. I've personally used Rancher Desktop, and it seems to be largely a drop-in replacement for Docker Desktop. Works pretty well. There's some little things that you might encounter. Probably the biggest issue that I have had with it is if my machine sits idle for a period of time, it loses its connection to the Docker socket. And when you try to run a Docker command like Docker build or Docker run or Docker pool, you're going to get an error message that it check if the Docker daemon's running, because it can't connect to the Docker socket and var run Docker, and the socket's there and the daemon's running. I don't know what the disconnect is. Apparently there's a bug that they have in there to issues regarding it, and the only way I've found to fix it is you have to restart Rancher Desktop, quit it and restart it, and you have to kill it not kill it, but quit it and restart it. There's no like restart option to kick the daemon or whatever. And starting and stopping and starting Ranch or Desktop, it takes a good long time, like a minute and a half or whatever. So it's not very convenient. But then when it's up and running, and that for the rest of the day, it should be fine. Like, I don't know what it was that kicked it, whether it was going into a sleep mode or I think last week I had pulled the power cord out or what. I fucking hate that power cord on the Mac because it just comes loose all the time. And
yeah, you got the older Mac,
so
with the
annoying.
Actually, the new ones have this MagSafe too. The M1s have the MagSafe as well, but it's a little different though. Because
I would rather have them. Yeah, I would rather have the MagSafe. This is a Thunderbolt. Is that it? The Thunderbolt plug? It's like a USB-C, but I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's that, and it could just come a little bit loose, and I don't notice it. And then the next thing I know, the Mac is shutting off, and I'm like, what's wrong? Why won't it come back on? And oh my God, I hate that too. Like the power button on the Mac, I have no idea whether it's turning on or not, or what it's doing, because it's just sits there at a black screen. You look at, they used to have the little icon, the little Apple thing that would glow on the back of the top of the laptop top, or in the back, whatever you want to call it. Like when you pop it open, you got the little Apple logo on the back of it, and it used to be white and have an LED back there, and it would glow. And now it's just a part of the case, and it doesn't. And the keyboard doesn't glow or have any like indication on it. Like I can't tell whether this thing's starting up or not. And I'm pushing the button, and I'm waiting. And then I push the button again, and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm holding it in. And then sometimes it'll come up, and it'll display the icon that it's run out of battery because the battery thing is loose. And then I can't tell whether it's charging or not because I don't – their icon is so shitty to me. And then when it finally comes on, like, I don't know – you don't use a Mac on a regular, but ours is connected. Like our,
I have a Thunderbolt dock on mine right now, and it's an irritant.
So we have our domain, right? So our accounts exist in the domain, and if you want to change the password, like it syncs it all up. It's supposed to sync it all up. For some reason, like if I restart the machine or power it off and power it back on, 9 times out of 10, I'll have to put in a password I used 3 times ago because for some reason it never updates properly. I don't know. I can't get that out. I type in my password and it just sits there looking at me for a really, really, really long time. Like, did I type it in wrong? Is it doing anything? I don't know what's going on. And then it jiggles like I didn't do anything. And then I type it in again. And then I sit there and sometimes it's just, I don't know what the hell it takes too long. I'm sorry. I'm done with my Mac rant. I hate that in the power bar. You can shove it right up. Who's the CEO of Apple now? Is it still?
Tim Cook.
Yeah, is it still Tim Cook? Shove it right up his buttocks there. I hate. Greybeard. Yeah, Graybear asks, is Docker Desktop non-free as of the 31st? If you can use it personally, I think it's still free. But if you are using it in a company, and I forget what the size is, it's pretty small or whatever, that you have to license it per desktop or whatever. So yeah, it's not free for corporate use anymore. Personal use, I don't think they care. But anyway. Go ahead, Joel. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. Yep. But yeah, this one would have the when my replacement time comes, they have the current model, then it would have the touch bar on it. I don't know. Yeah. Well, everyone I've ever heard of, I'll play with him for a little bit, but almost everyone I know switched to just the escape and the function keys.
Yeah, and but the thing that I think makes it worse is that even though you can do that, the escape key is off position than any other keyboard that you've been used to. It doesn't like line up exactly where an escape key usually is on a keyboard. It's different, and it's not a button, and it's not a good feel. If you're used to hitting an escape key, this thing is a pain in the ass. And I've been using it for a couple years now, and I still hate it. Because you don't know whether you hit it or not. And you're like, and because I use VI all the time, you know, I'm using the escape key a lot. And it's just, it gets to be annoying.
Yeah, you would be. Yeah, we'll see. I doubt we get M1s right away. Yeah, so and I know all the Intel ones that they currently still sell have that. So, but you know, I don't know, that could be a year or so down the road, who knows. But Samsung had an event today. The S22 series has gotten real. The pre-order date is now.
Does this mean you're getting a new dish? New dryer? A new Wi-Fi enabled dryer?
No. This is a phone, dude.
I know.
The S22 series. Yeah, I know. No. I'm not getting that because I'm probably going to pick up a new personal phone maybe this weekend. We shall see.
What's wrong with your old phone?
Nothing.
Couple things. One, I actually had to replace the S Pen because I was at church, and I was on the way up the stage to do something. Dropped the phone.
Halfway out, snapped.
Well, yep, the button snapped off. Yeah. So
the what pen?
The S Pen.
S Pen.
Yeah.
For the Note series.
Yep, for the Note series because I got a Note 10 Plus right now.
They're extremely fragile, like all of them.
Yep. So I'm probably going to go with the 512 gigabyte Pixel 6 Pro, I think.
Wait, you're replacing your whole phone? You're replacing your whole phone when you can just replace the pen for like 20 bucks?
No, I actually already replaced the pen just because I don't know how long it's going to take to get the other phone. No, the charge port is starting to get wonky on it too. And it's like...
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Or is it loose?
It doesn't feel loose, but it kind of is a little bit. It's weird.
When you put the connector in, it's not staying in.
Some of that maybe, but right. What'll happen is now if I just plug it in and leave it alone, hey, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Most likely you need to go in there with a needle and clean out the pocket fluff.
Yeah, I already tried.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can always charge it wirelessly.
Yes, and that does work. You know, like in fact, that's how I charge it in my car. Throw it on a pack, good to go. But it's nearing the end of the contract anyway on the phone. I, for the most part, just accept that I'm always going to have a phone payment, at least on mine. I'm fortunate in that my wife isn't as bad as on phones as me and my son are. So it saves a little money. But I'm not
going to go for the... Wait, hold on, I got a question. How does wireless charging work?
It's induction.
No, but I mean, how well does it work?
Pretty darn well.
It works pretty well. Don't expect fast charging because
don't expect it to charge as fast as a 20 watt charger,
right? Or 30 watt. Yeah, the 30 watt charger is on the Pixel 6 Pro, but
well, you can do.
It doesn't come with it either.
You can do super fast charging on the Note 10 Plus if you have a good enough charger. It's just they're hard to get. Like the only thing I have to do the super fast charging is this one battery pack.
Now, The one that comes
and is
with
that like a little base
pass?
That you lay it on? You have to lay it horizontally, or
no, that's wired. That's wired for the super fast. You just get regular charging speeds with the wireless.
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
much.
With the wireless, is it like you have to lay it on the base horizontally, or is it like a little?
It depends on how your stand is angled.
Yeah, it depends on the charger. Like mine, I just lay it. There's a little tray that's built into my car. I just lay it on that, and it charges.
Like I have a couple of like just stands that you can change the angle on that have the wireless charging built into them.
And some of them are magnetic, like the iPhone is magnetic.
So that
I heard
you get into the right position each time.
Right, and I heard from a friend of mine who actually just picked up the Pixel 6 Pro, that. The Apple charger is actually the Apple MagSafe charger that you can get for the iPhone actually works on the Pixel 6. So I don't know how fast it goes, but let's go over the specs for these S22. They actually brought out the S22 series as well as the S8 tablet series, which the top tablet has a 14-inch screen, which looks gorgeous, but. I'm not buying that. And I'm not going to buy one of these S22s either. But Android 12, One UI 4.1 ships on all of them.
The S22 Ultra is actually lower cost than I thought it was going to be. It ended up being like $1,300 instead of the $2,000 I was expecting.
Well, it's $1,199.99 for the base version, which is 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. Everything above... you know, from 256 all the way to 1 terabyte on the S22 Ultra have 12 gigs of RAM. So if you get a 256, you'll get 12 gigs of RAM. Rear cameras is 12 megapixel ultra wide, 108 megapixel wide, and 10 megapixel 3x telephoto, and a 10 megapixel 10x telephoto. So really good cameras on the back. The front camera is 40 megapixels on the S22 Ultra. 5G LTE, Wi-Fi 6E, Bluetooth 5.2. Available in Phantom Black, Phantom White, Green, or Burgundy. And they at least start at $1,199.
$1,199? Damn! Yep. How much you paying for? You're going to pay $1,199?
No, actually, the Pixel 6 is a little bit cheaper than that, I think. So, not much cheaper, but a little bit. Especially for the higher storage versions, because I'm not looking at the 128. That's just too little for me. I'd look at 256 or 512, and right now the difference in the monthly payment between the 256 and the 512 is like $3, so I'm going to get the 512 probably on the Pixel 6 Pro, which has been out for a while. Oh, and the S22 Ultra has a 6.8-inch Quad HD AMOLED 120Hz vision booster included, so it has a 120Hz screen on, just like the iPhones do. The Plus steps that down to 6.6-inch, and the straight-up S22 is a 6.1-inch. All three of them have Qualcomm Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. The memory on anything that's not the S22 Ultra is only 8 gigabytes. And the battery sizes are on the 22 is 3700 milliamp hour, 4500 for the Plus, and 5000 for the S22 Ultra. Cameras, let's see. There's no 108 pixel megapixel camera on the S22 Plus or 22. So basically, the top end one is the S22 Ultra, which also includes the S Pen and Note features. So it's essentially the Note. So, and the S22 starts at $799, and the Plus is $999. So. Those are the phones.
I really don't think I need a new phone this year.
Yeah, if my USB-C port wasn't starting to get flaky, and you know, it's not that much difference to pay, you know, to pay this off, you know, and then start a new one, or pay the, I do have,
I don't know if my
the
wife
insurance
wants a new phone or not. I know hers has taken some damage.
I want to say, who are you with now?
The insurance route or get her another phone.
Right. Who are you with now?
T-Mobile.
Okay. I want to say, I've heard some really good deals if you're not on T-Mobile on the Pixel 6 Pro. Like $399, dude. Well, like $399 for a new phone.
Okay, but they're not going to have... Look, I can't even get the buy one, get one free deals from T-Mobile because I pay so little each month on my actual bill.
I'll probably change up my plans
too. I have four lines, and I pay... Right. Four lines with unlimited data, and I pay after taxes, $160 a month.
Yeah, I wish mine was that low. but I will probably
it's because
changing.
I'm a veteran and I've had T-Mobile for
years.
20 years.
Yeah. Let's say like me and Verizon, I've had it for at least that long. But in fact, I actually... Well, we'll see what happens. I'll have to do some rejiggering. We still have the old Verizon XL plan, which 16 gigabytes cap across the three phones, which usually serves us pretty well for all three of us. We don't all, like, we're mostly at home, so we're mostly on Wi-Fi. So, but I'm considering what I might do is I might call them before I go do any ordering or go over and talk to them. And actually, last time I got a new phone, I went in and I talked to them at the store and I ordered the phone for pickup right from the phone from the store. So that's probably what I'll do because I really kind of want to talk to one of them because I do have some discounts on my plan because of who I work for. And I don't know if that'll apply because right now I had 5G on my Note 10 Plus since I bought it, but I've never used it. Because I never paid for it because it was pointless because the Note 10 Plus only has the millimeter wave 5G version.
5G.
Right. Not the ultra wideband, which Verizon has activated in my area. So it's now worth me actually paying the extra money because I'll get the 5G speeds. So in fact, I'm hazarding to guess that that might be why my 4G reception is pretty shit where I'm living. Is because of that.
Well, but, I'm always on Wi-Fi, and you know, eventually one day I'll get a 5G phone, but it's not going to be this year because stick with the phone I got for another year because I enjoy the lower payments.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, actually, I think my payments on the Pixel 6 Pro would be lower than my Note 10 Plus right now, but. But the tablets are pretty interesting,
too. Are you
too.
Doing the trade-in for the Note 10 Plus?
It's a good question. I think if I just pay it outright, I can keep it. So I have to remember how I did it the last time. Because I still, for some reason, I still have my Z Force, which I had a while ago.
Are you still planning on sending me a laptop?
Yeah, maybe. depends on if I load Slackware on it or not. but they also brought out their new versions of the tablets. And here's my question is who's, but you know, their tablets are like iPad money. Who's buying these things?
What, the Samsung tablets?
Yeah. The S8 is $700. The S8 Plus is $899 and the S8 Ultra.
Sorry, I can't see Android tablets as anything other than glorified toys.
Right. So, and the Ultra is $1,099. It's like, if I'm spending that much, I'm going to just buy a laptop.
Right.
But, you know, and I want to say it, it's not an iPad, and Google really hasn't done anything with regards to making the tablet experience better on Android. Yeah, the only kind of upside that these have is they probably will run the Dex desktop. You know, you can interchange between the tablet mode and the Dex mode. So if you set it up with a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, you can use it essentially like a desktop. But, you know, they're stupid expensive. Nobody has a really good cheap Android tablet, in my opinion. I mean, you know, you probably want a better experience. You can go with the higher end Fire tablets.
Yeah, I was going to say the Kindles.
Right. Not the 7. Don't go for the 7. The 7's trash.
I haven't picked up a Kindle in a while, but it used to be. Right. That was you'd get a Kindle, and it would be, you know, 50, 75 bucks, and you'd have a halfway right. decent Android device. The only problem was is that, you know, all the ads came on it, and it was a simple right. enough matter if you knew what you were doing to root it and ROM it and put yep. stock Android on there.
Or you could even load, like, in fact, I've had friends who've had the Fires that loaded a Play Store on it instead of the Amazon store.
Right.
But I know this the $50 one, which is basically the same as the tablet I got a year and a half ago. They haven't brought a new one at the low end now for a while now, but it's trash. You know what I mean, it's good enough for light reading, and that's about it. I mean, it really, yeah. That's the main reason I have it. It still is because I don't even use it. I got it for free through work. But
did I tell you guys that I got USB IP working on the Pi 4?
Yeah, I think didn't we discuss that last
week? No, I don't remember that.
I was discussing that I was going to, but I actually got it working, and I do have to still set it up on the Pi 0. But
okay,
like with Sunday's Mitcast, I used the USB IP from the Pi 4, which granted is wired instead of the wireless that I want to use. And use that for the audio output, not the microphone input, but the audio output, so that I can listen through that. And that worked extremely well. Slightly less range.
Interesting.
For the wireless headset, but pretty well.
Cool. I should break down and order another one. I used to have a Bluetooth one that was actually good. The one I'm using now is a dongle one.
I like Bluetooth headsets. I love Bluetooth headsets. I work on them all the time. Problem is that Linux doesn't use Bluetooth very well.
I can agree with that.
But the 2.4 gigahertz Razer Nari Ultimate that I'm using right now, right. headset and mic both, it is excellent. And cuts past all the problems that Linux has with Bluetooth.
Cool. Now, about 2 years ago now, God, it's hard for me to believe it's 2 years ago, I had bought an Avantree AH6B Bluetooth 5.0 headset. It's actually down to $50 now. That's good. And I loved it. It was the one, it was a Bluetooth headset, supports A2DP. Now, the one I'm using now, the Logitech H600 or H800, I forget which one, but it supports Bluetooth as well as the dongle. The problem is in Bluetooth mode is its audio is horrible. It's not A2DP, or it doesn't have haptics or any of that stuff in it. It's basic.
They say A2DP is the control system.
Right. But it's the basic, the one that my Logitech one for Bluetooth mode, it has the very basic, like, call quality type of headset. So
it's made
audio
for calls.
Phone. Correct. And it's awful. All right. When I put the dongle on, the audio quality is better. The Bluetooth one is not usable for me for calls because the Bluetooth side. Right. It's nasty. It sounds bad. This Avantree did not have that problem, and the best part of it was,
really?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's perfect, and the audio sounds great, and it has really good range too. Even with the dongle version that I'm using tonight,
I would have put Avantree like one step above Insignia, and
right.
I will never ever buy anything Insignia ever again, ever.
Oh, they had a good MP3 player. than what I had.
Headphones.
I can agree with that. But yeah, I wish they still made the MP3 player. I used to have it until I busted the screen on. I had the same problem Dan has with his clips. because in the Best Buy under the Insignia brand at one point actually had a Bluetooth enabled MP3 player, which was nice. You know, at the time, Bluetooth headphones were pretty new. You know, I rarely used the Bluetooth headphones, but occasionally I did, you know, but anyway, but this Avantri one I had was really good and had good range. The only problem is the frame's kind of fragile. And I think it might have been on a business trip, because I usually end up packing two headsets when I go on a business trip. And I think what happened is I crunched the frame in the backpack or something, so it just fell apart.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of headphones that I really like when it comes to quality sound. But I have a pair of Sony XB700s, which are nice because they get like 30 hours of battery life. They charge over USB-C, so they charge really quickly. But I'd say for being XB, they're lacking a whole lot of B.
And the other nice thing about these Avantri ones, this Avantri one, is you can plug in a cable to it too.
Yeah.
So it can go wired.
Well, yeah, you can do that with all of the Bluetooth ones that I like. But right. With that XB700, I had to modify the ear cups to make them larger. And then they're great for all-day wear. They're great for all-day talking on the phone. They're okay. They're good for audiobooks. But if I really, really want to listen to some good music, I pick a different set of headphones.
Yeah, I don't use these Logitech ones unless I'm, you know, tethered to my PC for work. So, but they are working. I actually probably should pick up another set. So I might order these Avantris again, unless they have a new version of it. I might look and see if they got a new version of it, just because for the things I absolutely rely on, like these headphones for calls, I really want to have backups, because I like the wireless headsets always for Zoom calls, because I can turn my camera off, walk around the room, and still be able to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I like my LGs for that, but I'm using my phone to talk too.
Yeah, I've that's what I ended up doing today, because we have, you know, long calls for this training week, and Zoom's pretty seamless for switching from the computer headset to a phone. So that's what I did. I hooked up I had a calls only Bluetooth headset attached to my iPhone. I walked downstairs and I was still able to listen in on the call. I didn't say anything, but I didn't need to say anything during that segment of the call. And I was able to go down and relieve myself, because 4-hour calls suck when you're
working at home. If I want to just, you know, kind of isolate myself or something, I'll probably listen to whatever I want to. I'll pick the XB700s. But if I want everybody else to hear what I'm listening to and not be able to hear anything else other than what I want to listen to, I'm going with my modified crushers.
Right.
Now, granted, I'm a little deaf, so I don't mind turning the volume up.
They got higher price versions, but the AH6B worked pretty well. The nice thing also I liked about the Avantris was, if I did want to just use it for listening to music or something, I can yank out the microphone and leave it at the desk.
Yeah. You
know, so that's nice. But we'll see. I don't know. I'll probably order a new set soon.
The Krakens, they the microphone recedes, but those are wired. Now, granted, it's not hard to, you know, modify them to make them Bluetooth. And then, you just push the microphone in, and same with the Naris. And then, you can't see the microphone on the Crushers or the Sony XBs. But I think the only thing I ever really had that had the removable mic was the Turtle Beaches. And I know people talk smack about Turtle Beaches, but if you want something with really great mids and really, really easy to work on if they break, that's Turtle right. Beach.
Yep. I might, for my son's birthday, I might see if I can track down a pair of the older LGs that are in the band.
Oh, the neckband ones?
Yeah, pretty much any of them that had the retractable headphone part.
Do you know who to talk to about that?
I do. You.
Who? Me. Yes, me. I have some that I haven't modified yet. So they are stock. They are standard, and they work.
Nice. I might send you a Facebook message later, but I'm actually preferring some well, that kind of goes back to the car talk. I think I talked about my son's car last week a little bit. Fortunately for me, the engine light went off, so I'll probably be calling the dealer tomorrow to cancel our appointment.
I will say that the retractable one, well, anything from the LG line that is neckband right. is getting a lot harder to find, and even used
they
and
are.
Broken is getting more expensive.
Yeah, they are. They are, because everything seems to be going to the
wireless,
like the AirPods stuff. So, and don't get me wrong, I got three pairs of them right now, different brands, but three
the
pairs.
True wireless.
But, and I do mostly like them. You know, the only thing that I don't like is that the buds themselves have shit battery life. Compared to the band ones. But they don't take that long to recharge in the case either. So, But, yeah, the only other thing I hate about them is that occasionally...
they're so easy to lose.
I was going to say, that's what happened. You know, or they'll either pop out of the case or... Now, I've been very, very careful around the toilet when I have them... That's the last thing I want to do is drop one in the toilet, but the band, he has an easier time with the band ones because he's on a hearing aid in one ear too, because he's got some hearing loss in that ear. I think eventually what we need to do is need to get him a real good set of a real good hearing aid, because then that way he can just pair it
Bluetooth built into the hearing aid.
Right. So. Because what's not more annoying, fortunately, he found his battery case. He has some cheapy wireless buds that have the Ohio State logo on the case and on the buds. Don't buy a logo to your buds because they're always shit. I'm telling you. But he finally found the case because the most annoying thing that he'll do is you ever see Scotty does the talk on the cars. I forget his last name. But he'll watch this, that iPad, that YouTube channel.
No clue.
And
I don't watch it.
Yeah, that's probably best you don't.
I agree.
Yeah, there's enough stuff out there to watch. I have too much right now.
Right, all the weightlifting stuff, all the cooking stuff, all the fixing electronics stuff.
Takes forever. Yeah. But, so he'll just watch it, you know.
Plus the Book of Boba Fett.
Have you watched this week's
yet? I have
not
watched the most recent one, but memes have already ruined it for me. I know what Grogu picks.
I knew what Grogu picks when they worked on the N1, dude.
But, wait, did you see the last one where they were training?
Yes,
I did.
Saw that
which was,
one
I thought it was good. I liked it.
Where Luke gave him the stupid choice at the
end
of the episode.
The choice is stupid. The choice is stupid because
messed
even
up.
Though he, yeah.
You know what? You take a little kid. And you open up his mind and make him relive the most traumatic experience of his life.
I know, that was rough.
And then the next scene, you throw a droid in that's shooting laser beams at his ass? Come on.
Not only that, but you wake him. You're the person that woke up those memories in him, and then you give him a choice. Hey, stick around, or not go back to the guy that saved your life.
When he did that, the people in front of him, other than the clone troopers, had lightsabers. What do you think you want to pick? It's cool that Luke had Yoda's lightsaber, but but it's like, yeah.
I just wish the Book of Boba Fett was about Boba Fett.
Well, like, the two episodes most recent that I've seen, not the most recent one, but those two definitely were not about Boba Fett, but all the ones before that were.
Well, yeah, I know. But
Boba Fett gets pretty badass in the last episode. I'll tell you that right now.
It was kind of slow those first four episodes.
Well, you know he has a rancor. He was acting
a little bit like a punk most of it.
Yeah, but you know he has a rancor now, right?
Yeah, yeah. The
rancor makes an appearance in the final episode.
The Hutts gave him the rancor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he and the rancor make an awesome appearance in there, so that's good.
He did say he wanted to ride the rancor.
He did. And it was badass. And, of course, Mando using a darksaber, and he's finally got a handle on it, it seems.
Oh, good. It's not, you know, 10,000 pounds for him anymore.
Yep. Yep. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know if they're going to have, like, a season two of Book of Boba Fett. But I know the Mandalorian season three is going to happen.
Yeah, they're talking it's going to be like Christmas, though, before Mando.
That's what I've heard.
You know what I don't like about, like, what they did there is, like, I feel if I would like The Mandalorian and I really didn't care about Boba Fett,
right?
Now I have to watch Boba Fett because...
Both of them.
I'm not going to make...
It has Mando.
Because I'm not going to know what has happened for the season three of Mandalorian, which should be what's happening in Boba Fett right now.
Well, isn't Akasha supposed to be getting her own
Ahsoka,
series?
Yeah, Ahsoka's going to get her own series.
But it's Ahsoka's fault that Luke acted the way he did with Grogu.
I think so. I totally think so.
Oh, my God, we are such nerds.
But more importantly, the Obi-Wan series, May 21st, dude.
So we get the Obi-Wan series before we get the next Mando series.
Yes. Of course, it's set back in Clone War times because Ewan McGregor is playing Obi-Wan. Who is now probably the age Alec Guinness was in A New Hope. No, actually, no, he's 50, so...
But it's almost like, who cares? Who cares about Obi-Wan? We know his story. Who cares?
Up until his exile, we don't know why Luke called him
but
Ben.
Who cares?
Right?
Who the fuck cares?
He might have had some adventures in there.
But... Oh, there is a death in the last episode. Not any
and
of
Luke
the,
looks,
the
looks
series
less
regular.
Like Luke now. I mean, he still looks pretty close, but he doesn't look as much like Luke as he looked in that one episode in Mandalorian.
Actually, I thought he looked better in the,
he looked more natural in Boba Fett, but he did not look as much like Luke as he did.
Well, the story goes on that is they had some deep fakers make that.
Yeah.
So, but I would like to know what happened between the end of Revenge of the Sith and when Luke met Obi-Wan as Ben. So, you know, that's kind of what I want to know. And I think that's what that Obi-Wan series is going to cover.
What I like
are they going to have Anakin?
That's a good question.
What I like about Boba Fett and The Mandalorian is they've taken two characters. Well, one is brand new. They've taken Boba Fett and they've moved them forward.
New stories.
instead of going back in time and giving us teenage Boba Fett or whatever, like, we're getting beyond that period between what, Revenge of the Sith and New Hope,
right?
And all that Clone Wars crap. We're getting away from that, and we're moving forward a little bit. Well, now, sure, well, I know between, it takes place before
A Force Awakens.
Yeah, but I feel this is a little different because it's not the same characters, and there's really
right.
like well, nobody eventually. In The Force Awakens or any of those trilogies were saying, "Hey, where's Boba Fett?" You know, Boba right. Fett didn't show up in The Last Jedi. And so ruin the fact that Boba Fett could die in these series or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
Eventually they'll make another, you know, epic trilogy of movies. And then they'll put another set of TV shows set between the two trilogies.
Well, and I think Disney's also starting to bring back some of the legacy from the books and stuff. Like Grand Admiral Thrawn may get a series or something surrounding him.
Who?
So, Grand Admiral Thrawn. If you haven't read the Heir to the Empire series, it's what the it's what the sequel should have been. Because that
I would be fine with that because it's new stuff. You know, right. maybe not new to you, but I mean, it's not going back.
Right. Right.
To before well, New Hope.
In technically, that's how Ben Solo got his name because, let's see, there was in that series of books towards the end of the series, Leia had Jason and Jaina, and then Ben. All right, so we don't know if the other two offspring for the books are going to be canon now or not. Because Disney being Disney threw away everything that happened before they owned them. But now they're gradually adding everything back because, hey, what do you know? Those were actually good characters.
Did the other kids die, though?
See, that's
Or at least one of them died.
Really good question. Yeah, I want to say I thought Ben died in the some of the legacy stuff. I don't know. I'd have to reread the Heir to the Empire series, which is a good.
They kind of got prolific with after the what was it? The New Jedi Order books,
right?
And they just started cranking out all the books, and a lot of the books were extremely contradictory to things that had happened before, and I just couldn't follow it all anymore.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know that kind of, you know, that's like a lot of the characters that we're seeing now, like Ahsoka, Cad, Bane, came from Clone Wars,
animated
Clone
Wars.
Yeah, one of the animated series, right?
But not from the books,
right? Yeah. So I mean, that's you know we'll see. We'll see. I think they could. If they keep putting Favreau in charge of these,
like I would love to see like Mara Jade.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, how fantastic would that be?
That would be pretty awesome to see Mara Jade in a Skywalker series.
Yep. I don't think it's gonna happen, but
it will. Well, because Mara Jade was one of the characters where they kept, you know, changing the storyline as they changed the authors. Because a lot of the authors liked Mara Jade. So then, right. you know, her and Luke were going to end up getting married. And then, you know, the next right. author didn't like Mara Jade. So off she went into the wild blue yonder and then
right.
came back. And then the next author sent her away again. And then
and
one author brought in another love interest for Luke. And it was like this ancient Jedi that had been on board a spaceship for forever as a
right.
spirit thing and got stuck
and
into
who
a body
ended up inventing her? Timothy Zahn invented her. Timothy Zahn was the one who created Mara Jade. He's the creator of her as far as I'm concerned. You know, but in the Heir to the Empire series she was the Emperor's hand.
Right.
And
She had orders to kill Luke that were embedded into her subconscious.
Yep. I mean, yeah, she's just a really good character. I know, right? But yeah, it's just, you know, it seems crazy. Yeah, some of the stuff that they did with her character, even in the books. But then Disney throws everything out. You know, we're all, it's all, well, if it didn't come from Lucasfilm, it didn't come from, it's not canon, you know.
Right. It did get a little out of control, like I said. Now, I liked a lot of the books, and I was upset that they got rid of all of that. But, you know, everything was supposed to go through George Lucas before it got put out into the public, which means that he was supposed to be checking continuity, or he was supposed to have people checking continuity. And I think they just failed miserably at that.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. But yeah.
So having never read any of those books, like, my Star Wars experience has strictly been the movies. I never read any of the other books. I did play Shadows of the Empire on Nintendo 64, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Did the books destroy... Would the books have destroyed my childhood the way that the last three movies did?
Absolutely where they, not.
Where they shit on Leia and they shit on Han and they shit on Skywalker?
No, definitely not. I mean, in the book series, what Luke did start up the Jedi Academy with the Jedi Academy trilogy, and that kind of, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars faded over time, but he did train a new generation of Jedi, and there wasn't really the whole issues with the balance of the Force. There was some, but not.
And did
much.
One come in and kill them all then?
No.
And there was no talks of midichlorians.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember any talk of midichlorians. But I mean, Han basically went on a gambling spree and won a planet to give to Leia as, you know, a courting gift so that she could take all the survivors from her home world and put them there. And then they had three kids.
Yep.
And they were all Force users. And then eventually one of them turned to the, one of them did turn to the dark side. And then the other two.
I think it was Ben.
Didn't.
Yeah, I think it was Ben too that did that.
Oh, so it was it didn't end up where they got a divorce and the one who turned to the dark side came back and killed Han.
I'd have to reread Leia the last book. I don't think so. Yeah.
No. No. They didn't do that kind of stuff.
But that's where like characters like
I don't remember
like
them
Talon.
Getting a divorce, but right. I don't remember that they actually got a divorce in the movies either. Yes, they were separated, but that was because Han went out, you know, trying to save his kid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it's the I don't know. The whole I think the whole sequels, you know, I some people say they're horrible, and about the only criticism I have of those is what they did to Luke. And the fact that they brought up the Emperor again. It's like, come on.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There was some crazy stuff that happened in the books. Like, you know, there was a clone of Luke.
Yep.
That was pretty much insane.
Well, and then Joris, who was actually a clone. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a clone of an actual good Jedi.
Yeah.
And became evil.
And the clones were basically, clone Force users were basically all insane.
Pretty much.
Because of some kind of resonance with the Force. And then they made a clone of the Emperor, but because the Emperor wasn't alive, you know, he was only as crazy as the Emperor was.
Right.
Which is granted pretty damn crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, the books were You know, at least I didn't read a lot of them. I definitely didn't read like the Jedi Academy series or anything on any of those.
I did.
But I did read the Heir to the Empire series, and that was really, without Heir to the Empire, you don't have the prequels. Without Heir to the Empire, you don't have any of this stuff.
Right. I read the Thrawn trilogy. I read the Jedi Academy trilogy. I really liked the Jedi Academy trilogy. I also read I, Jedi, which was set in the same time frame as the Jedi Academy trilogy. And then the two trilogies that got made that were the Han Solo prequel trilogies were really good.
Yep. The movie, Solo movie, I don't know. Hey, some of the things that were
watched it.
Yeah, some of the things that were in it, I just don't agree with. You know, like, can you really see Lando Calrissian as like bisexual and going both ways? I don't know. You know, because to me, you know, they had one of who was considered one of the ladies' men of the 80s play the guy, you know.
Wait, is that in the Disney films now too?
Yeah, Solo, his sexuality is a question in Solo.
Wow,
it's
I saw
weird.
It, but I don't remember Solo that much. It wasn't that
yeah,
good of a
movie. Yeah, I agree. It
again,
wasn't.
I really don't care about going back into these characters' pasts. Moving forward, be done with it.
Yep. I mean, well, I will say, you know, of the prequels, it was nice to see Chewbacca basically in it from the beginning. You know.
Yeah, Chewbacca. Yeah, no problem with Chewbacca.
Right.
Yeah, that was one thing that, you know, did bother me about one of the books when, I think it was Kevin J. Anderson dropped a moon on Chewbacca.
Wait.
He killed off Chewbacca. He dropped a freaking moon.
Yeah,
on.
No. I was trying to think. Chewbacca was in The Force Awakens. What happened to Chewbacca after
Probably
Han died?
Home.
Did they just drop him like a hot potato after Han died, right?
He probably went home because, well, in the books, I don't know.
He's in the movies. He was at the end of he flew the Falcon.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah,
I'm not talking
the
about the
Rise
book.
Skywalker.
I was talking about the movies. Yeah. I know. Right. I heard. Yeah, I know he died in the books.
Well,
I didn't know he had a moon dropped on him.
Well, because early on in the books, it's mentioned that he actually has a wife and kid, but because of his life at the Han, you know, he never gets to see them.
He didn't get home for Life Day. Which is the worst Star Wars product ever, the holiday special. With B. Arthur.
Well, it didn't help that, like, absolutely everybody was, you know, coked up to the gills.
Yeah.
But I think you had more Boba Fett in the holiday special than anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting that you talk about the holiday special. If you remember the gun that Boba had in the holiday special, Mando had it. You know, the gun that looked like a U on the end of it.
Yeah.
But but now, what I would think would be an interesting series is if they had to go back, it would be more interesting to learn about some of the history of Mandalore. Figure out why there's essentially two sects of Mandalorians.
Didn't they kind of explain that in one of the episodes of
some of it? Yes. Yeah, and the one where they had a Bo-Katan, the Yabo explained why she takes her helmet off. So
well,
like,
No. In Boba Fett, in one of those episodes, when
the destruction of Mandalore. Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking, and they specifically ask about Bo-Katan, and it gets explained that it was just like her family or something that went off and did their own thing, and it's not the way or some crazy crap like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not that many Mandalorians left. You know,
there's like,
I mean,
like three.
Well, you got Bo and, yeah. Yeah, about six, I would think. Yeah. And of course, then
and Boba Fett is not a Mandalorian. He's just allowed to wear the Mandalorian armor
because it was Jango's,
right? And he has the same genetic structure,
right? Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I find the Star Wars stuff much more interesting than any of the newer Marvel films. Although I haven't seen Shang-Chi yet, but...
No, not me. I love the Marvel films.
Shang-Chi's good. Eternals kind of suck.
I thought Eternals was kind of the weakest one.
Yeah. Well, I thought Shang-Chi was good. I'm really wondering where they're going with, you know, this whole... next wave of stuff that they're doing. I understand that, you know, Doctor Strange has the potential to change everything so they can bring in new actors to play old characters.
Right.
But, I mean, what are they going to do? Robert Downey Jr. is done playing Iron Man, mostly.
Yep. Sure.
And what, Chris Evans?
Same.
So, you got to get... new characters, or at least new actors to play old characters.
Yep.
And still somehow maintain your continuity.
Maybe bring out a Fantastic Four that doesn't suck.
Well, we'll see in 2 years.
Yeah, right?
That will be a difficult one.
I mean, I'll say this. The one that had Jessica Alba as Susan, that wasn't bad.
No, the first one wasn't bad. The second one with the Rise of the Silver Surfer, that one was really iffy. And then everybody talks smack about the Daredevil movie.
Right.
But I don't think the Daredevil movie was bad. And then they're supposed to be bringing back Daredevil on Disney. We'll see how that goes. Or not on Disney, in the MCU. So yes, Disney.
No, from what I understand, he is back.
Well, he made a cameo in Spider-Man, but they're talking about, you know,
there's supposed to be another series coming for him.
And I don't know if it's going to... I doubt it's going to be a continuation. It's probably going to be a soft boot. And then are they going to bring back the other ones? Are they going to bring back Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones?
Who knows?
Defenders.
They got Moon Knight coming.
Moon Knight. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in seeing Moon Knight, and I'm almost tired of waiting for Morbius.
Wait, didn't that come out in the movies?
Morbius? No, I don't think it did. Like, it keeps getting delayed.
Oh, I thought it was out because I saw a trailer for it way back in the day.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It keeps getting pushed back the same way Black Widow did.
Well, April 1st, baby.
Yeah. So it'll be out on April 1st?
That's what it says.
In theaters?
That's what it says. Release date, April 1st, 2022. But maybe that's just going to be an April Fool's and it'll push it back again.
Yeah, but... yeah, because I think it's been ready to go for like 2 years now.
Now, see, the one thing I don't like about... like, I'd be interested to see Morbius. And it's just like Venom. I'm not compelled to go see them because they're not part of the MCU. But they're not part of the MCU, and I wish they would have been part of the MCU.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Venom got dragged into the MCU. Would you?
I wouldn't be, but I wish they would just, like, have a kind of... I mean, I don't care if Venom or Morbius shows up in other... I just would like to have that, like, tie together. Like, maybe later on down the line in a Spider-Man movie, they could pop up or something. Anyway, we got to wrap this show. We got to wrap this up. It's past time. Some of us have to get our beauty rest.
I don't think there's that much time left.
Dun dun dun.
Or the heat death of the sun.
All right. Anything else? If not, I'll play us out. We'll see you in a week. Stay safe. Good luck with your running for the school. When's the election?
Yep.
May.
All right. Well, we'll have plenty of time to hear about it as it goes on.
Doing all the pre-work now and then all the campaigning like March and April and then election in May.
All right. Well, here we go. Say goodnight, everybody.
I am short.
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. We talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sunday night. I had the worst gas in the world, man. My wife, she was in bad shape. She like, I slept through it. She said, the next morning, she said, you stank so bad. Like, and I had nowhere to go. She's like, I had nowhere to go. I went to go downstairs, but Paige was sleeping on the couch and I couldn't go there. And every other room was taken up in the house. I had nowhere to go and it was too cold outside. So I had to come back in and suffer. She said it was so bad. It was like, it probably wasn't the worst, but it was in the top five. Top five of my worst stink.
What the hell did you eat?
It was the COVID. And sometimes dairy does that to me. Like I had a drumstick that night, you know, not a chicken drumstick, but an ice cream cone drumstick. And boy, man, that just really.
Now, did you lose your taste?
No, I didn't lose my taste. Yeah, I didn't.
Now, I'm amazed I didn't have
gas. That's okay, Joel. You never had any taste.
My wife was wishing she lost her smell, though, man, because I really stank her the hell out.
I tried a new chili recipe, and I'm going to make it again we're doing a Super Bowl thing at church. I made Dr. Pepper chili. It was good.
That was tasty.
Can you taste, like, Dr. Pepper flavor in it, or
it wasn't smack yet in the mouth.
It would be subtle. It was subtle.
it was definitely subtle because it had a chipotle peppers and adobo sauce. That was the main heat source. It had red pepper, onion, of course, beef, kidney beans, garlic, chili powder, cumin, salt. I forgot one ingredient, though. The recipe had like a teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce. So when I make it again, I'll probably do that just because Worcestershire is awesome anyway. And I don't think it would really change it that much. So we'll see what happens with that. Plus the fact that, oh, it had fire roasted tomatoes in it. Hunt's fire roasted tomatoes is what I used. But when I went to go buy more, because I know I'm going to make another batch, I can only find the fire roasted tomatoes with garlic in it, which I don't think it's going to change it either. So a little extra garlic in it. I don't care. I like garlic. But it was really good. I would say this. I think you can kind of tune it here and there because you could probably not cook it as long and it will be a little bit soupier version of chili. So it just depends on how you like, how thick you like your chili, you know, but, and I definitely would make again. And I even got the wife to eat it. So I'm rather impressed. The only thing I will say is when you use the Dr. Pepper, I'll give you the recipe, but when you use the Dr. Pepper in it, get the real Dr., you know, the sugared Dr. Pepper, not the diet version. I don't think that would work. But it's definitely pretty tasty. I was just looking for something new and semi-weird to make for a chili thing because everybody's chili can taste the same sometime. And you can probably kick this up too. Drop in some mango, like maybe some mango habaneros or something like that, you know? Straight up habaneros, I should say. There's where I got it from. I didn't come up with the recipe. And I didn't try like they had, like, for toppings you could do onions and sour cream. I didn't do any toppings at all. I didn't even put, like, normally when I make chili I'll throw on some like cheddar cheese on the top or something. I didn't even do that, and I don't really think it needs it. And I might have to find more recipes that uses those peppers in it, because those were delicious. The adobo sauce was delicious.
I stopped recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight.
Last year's, so...
Yeah, when I was on professional services, I used to get bonuses, and actually, there were right around this time of year, you know, between...
Well, that's on top of my normal bonus.
Let's see, I don't get a bonus at all, so that's all right. The other thing. Well, we'll talk about the Unpacked event on the show a little bit.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Blumps.
Who did you impregnate, Joel?
That's not my wife. That
ever?
Once.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was gonna say. What?
He's gonna be 23 next month. Believe that?
Hooray! What day?
The 29th.
Wow, oh, that's right. That's right. 29th.
Of March.
Where is that coming from?
Where in the world is Dan's microphone? No.
Sister's birthday is next month.
Testing. Why do I hear myself coming back?
I don't
where
know.
Where is that coming from? I usually don't hear myself.
One of your other mics is turned on.
That's what I think. Hold on. Let me see if I still hear myself.
Mm-hmm.
That is why is
testing. I'm not hearing it from anywhere else.
So the only Pixel, well, I have to look at the colors, but the only Pixel 6 Pro that they have locally seems to be the 128 gig version, and I'd rather have the 256.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, wait, here we go. Forgot about this. Set your mouth on fire. You on fire tonight, Joel?
Sure. Well, I won't share this on the recording, but
well, you better not then, because we're recording.
Well, I don't care about that.
Okay.
it's official anyway. I got a promotion at work. I am a cloud engineering technical lead right now.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Yep.
That is great.
So I'm leading the technical folks. But we're all gonna ultimately what it's gonna mean is all of our admins are gonna eventually become engineers, cloud engineers. But we all have to learn Git and Ansible and stuff to really make that effective. But we're getting there. This is our training week this week.
You know, last week's date was pretty cool. It was 20-22-02-02. Or if you do the other way, 0202-2022. A lot of twos and a lot of zeros. 0202-2022. So
well, I am now 2022. Officially running for school board.
Yay. Good luck.
Posted and everything. They took pretty pictures of me. I am running for school board. Y'all should move here and vote for me.
What is the name of the district?
Allen Independent School District.
Alright.
Put some donations my way.
How many people are running and how many positions are open?
There's three positions that are currently open. I think there's just me and one other person running for four. And then there's three other people that are running.
Wait.
Oh, three people for each of the other two positions.
Oh, so you have to
specify the position, yes.
Well, what's the position?
Board of Trustees positions 1 through 5.
So wait, let me get this right. There are five. There are three open positions, right?
Right.
And
because one person died, one person, and I think the other two positions were actually up this year.
So, what I'm trying to get here is, there's three open positions. You have to pick one of the positions.
Yes.
Are they all the same position?
Essentially, yes. Because the chairman of the board is simply the person that has been on the board the longest. And I'm currently running against the current chairman of the board. So if I were to win, that would not make me the chairman of the board. That would make me one of the newest members, and whoever has been there the longest would be the chairman.
So the people whose time are up are running again.
Right.
So why, like, I guess my question is, there are why do they make you run for one of it? Why not just run for the school board? There's three open positions and say 10 candidates and the top three get those three open positions. Like, why do you have to?
I don't know.
It just seems really I didn't know. I didn't realize it did it that way.
That way you can vote three times instead of just once.
Yeah. Now, I am assuming that's probably not a paid position.
It's an unpaid position. That is correct.
Yep. So you keep your job and you just have to go to the board meetings.
Yep. officially vote on whatever it is. I'll have to learn, because I went to this thing to you know, learn what they do, and the only thing that they would say, because it's coming up to election time, is that they really don't do anything and they don't have any power.
Likely, probably. They decide to punch it.
That's power. That's something.
Well, if you do win, don't let that power go to your head.
Oh, I'm not gonna.
You'd be lording over everybody.
You just want to make
with
things
your
better.
Iron gavel.
Well, that's the interesting thing there. You know, now that I'm a like lead position, I do have a lot more responsibility. Like, I'm a part of our leadership team for my department. And
I'm considered
it's
part
like,
of the extended leadership team for work.
Yes. And it's like, do I talk down to my admins? Nope. I can't, because I was one. So it's like, you know, it's just, you know.
I don't talk down to anybody.
Yeah.
But occasionally I am required to yell at someone.
Yeah, I'll do that. Essentially, I'm famous for in our admin channel getting on a soapbox and stuff like that, and you know, just because I get sick and tired of seeing the same issues over and over
right.
again.
Or you have to say something like, why in the heck was this major issue left sitting there with nothing happening
right?
on it for 45 minutes?
Or like the issue I got today, where we get a case. It's end of the day, and most of my day was ate up by training, and it was in our stand, like our stand up. Basically, we have they call it a stand up channel, but it's not really that. It's more like a channel for our service managers, CSMs, to go in and say, hey, I need somebody to look at this right away channel, okay? And only like technical leads are in there, and as well as our managers, not Joe admin. So usually what I do is I'll go in there, find one, and I'll say, can somebody, I'll put in the admin channel, can somebody pick this up, please?
Yeah.
All right, it's, you know, or something like that. And this one, though, we were having a conversation, my manager asked me if I could take a look at it, and I went and looked at it, and I said, I don't even know how this is working at all.
Yeah. Well, we use Mattermost. I'm basically the admin for 90% of our Mattermost rooms. I'll set them up. I'll name them so that we know who's talking in there, and that's how we get faster communication with the developers and the business.
We use and abuse Slack.
Right. The problem is I can't really get mad at people for not responding to Mattermost, because Mattermost has this habit of logging you out in the background and not telling you, and then you find out about it an hour later when you go and click on it and be like, why haven't I seen any alerts from there?
Right. So in this case, I go in, and there's three servers in a production load balance, okay? One of them was just set up like months ago, because we added one, and I go into the configuration and I notice we have a feature in our product called a guest functionality. So basically there's a guest login so that people who don't have logins to the site can actually go in there and do course searches and stuff like that.
And that's alias to root, right?
No,
yeah.
No, not at all. No, it actually it's a belongs to our registry and probably authenticated with AD, but I would digress. So
as an administrator,
it has fair amount, but it's not root level. But,
passwordless pseudo access.
Yeah. So I had to do some finagling so that I can point my laptop directly at that instance. So instead of, because what'll happen is, if you access it locally, even just using localhost, it'll end up redirecting to their IDP, And then when it comes back to the load balanced URL. So I had to force it and tell it, if I go to the load balanced URL, I want to go to this server. So I put an entry in my host file and fixed it in all of like 10 minutes, maybe. Once I finally fixed it, it took me longer to write it up than it took me to do it. But it's like, how in the world is this working anyway? Randomly, they had to have been hitting that server in the load balance. And I'm like, you know, we should have noticed this months ago. But the client noticed it because the client actually has access to that page because they have there's a role called self-service administrator. So you can actually go in and see that page. And the client discovered that, hey, that configuration is missing. And I'm like, yeah, it's missing, but it's only missing on one server. Oh, well, it didn't take me that long, but I'm like, how did that get that way? Everyone wants to blame things on the changes. In this case, it was just a misconfigured, something we missed when we did the third server. So, and that's why automation is your friend.